The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey everybody, it's Tim Moore with The Bulwark here with Managing Editor Sam Stein and our man on the Hill, Joe Perticone. We had a wild night over on Capitol Hill, the first of many, I suspect, as Mike Johnson brought the budget resolution, a non-binding resolution, to the floor. Well, Joe explained exactly what that entails tonight. He thought he had the votes, and he didn't think he had the votes, and he thought he had the votes, and he didn't think he had the votes, and they ended up squeaking it by with a one-vote majority. All right, Joe, so explain to us what happened here.
So they're voting on the – or they voted on the budget resolution, which is not actually doing anything. No money's being spent or cut in this. What it does is it lays out a framework for what they plan to do. And so that's why you read about there being cuts in it. What it does is it instructs them and all the committees to go and find these cuts. And so when they say, oh, it doesn't cut Medicaid, Medicaid's not mentioned in it. Well, no, but it does instruct the committee responsible for Medicaid to magically find $888 billion to go cut. So that's why everyone, or all Democrats, were opposed to this. What happened was they were maybe going to vote all day, and then they passed the rule, which is a procedural thing, around 1:30 today. And the rule passed easily. Usually Republicans will tank their rule votes when they're mad, which is a relatively new concept, but it's just what they do. So everyone was on tip of their seats tonight. So they
edge of their seats, tip of their toes.
Tip of their, just thinking both.
Or tip of their tongue.
And when they were voting on something else prior to it, they kept the vote open for a long time, which signaled to everyone, uh-oh. A Republican speaker showed up to a vote series without counting all the votes first, which Jim Nance says is a tradition unlike any other. And then they decided to pull it. They were just like, we're not going to vote on it tonight.
Are we just going to let that Masters reference pass? That was very nice, Jack.
I made a face.
So they pulled it, and then they said, everybody go
just
home.
Just sneak in a little Jim Nance line. Yeah. I appreciate it.
They sent everybody home. So everyone walked down the steps. It's nice for the first time in months in DC. So everyone got out. They got in their idling cars driven by their staffers. We're like, let's get out of here. And then 10 minutes later, they're like, no, we're voting again, which means they did something to flip the three of the four holdouts. The only holdout was Thomas Massey. And then there was like another surprise when Brittany Pedersen from Colorado just showed up for this final extra vote with her 1 month old. That's why she's been out. And then another member who's had knee surgery and has been out just like hobbled onto the floor. And so then it became, they could only lose one, and they managed to flip some of the biggest hard holdouts like Tim Burchett, Warren Davidson, and then like Victoria Spartz will do
hard holdouts. These guys always flip.
Yeah. So they all.
I guess. I mean, Tim Burchett was praying on the House floor. He had to pray about it. He didn't have any commitments. Crazy Victoria Sparks, whose English is questionable. Who knew?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, maybe she didn't know what a hard no meant when she said she was a hard no. Because her English is iffy. Yeah, she's kind of an ESL member of Congress. And Warren Davidson sounds like he got a call from Mr. Trump. I just think, Sam, like the fact, your buddy Jake Sherman, Fast Break Jake Sherman, was reporting that in his 15 years, he's never seen a vote opened and then they pull it. Then they're like, okay, we're not actually going to vote on this like that. And then and then they reopen it to call them back. So it was kind of unprecedented. And the fact that they had to do this kind of arm twisting on a bill that, once again, doesn't do anything. It's just like the outline of a budget. I think augurs poorly for the debates to come.
Yeah, I suppose not, because at some point you got to actually put some cuts to these things, right? Like some numbers. And it's easy to vote in the abstract, but when you're telling the committees that you have to find $880 million, is that it? Or billion? I don't know. It's one of those. Billion, I think. In Medicaid, in likely Medicaid cuts, then that becomes a lot harder for the moderates, if they are in still existence, to swallow. I will say, though, this did follow a very familiar pattern, right? Like, we saw this exactly with the speaker's race. We saw it with the government funding bill. You start with the moderates who express concern. They get some vague promises. They always inevitably fold. I mean, when's the last time any of us have seen – honestly, when's the last time we've seen a House Republican moderate take a principled stand and not vote for something? Was it McCain?
McCain, Obamacare. Yep, that would be one. And I guess we've seen a couple now in the Senate with Murkowski and Collins.
Okay, in the House. Think about the House.
To think of a House Republican moderate.
So usually they cave. But even when they cave.
I guess Nancy Mace was kind of a moderate when she voted to overthrow Kevin McCarthy over personal issues. And then she fully took the red pill. I don't know where she was on her journey from moderate to anti-trans.
There's no lines there. But it usually follows that. And the moderates always cave first, because they're idiots and they don't know how to negotiate.
Yep.
And the conservatives always are like, you know what? Even though they caved, I'm still not happy with this thing. Let's make it more conservative. And the moderates are always like, okay, I'm not going to reverse that. I'll still be on board. And then there's always three or four conservatives, and usually it's Victoria Sparks. And usually she says, I'm a hard no. I'll never move. Again. I'll never move.
Hard might have kind of a different context in her native tongue. I don't know, though. There's some this is good. This is a big win for Johnson out there. Let me give the counter for you.
It's a win, but it just prolongs a larger suffering.
We didn't even talk about this stuff when Nancy Pelosi's in charge. It wasn't like, ooh, will she get the budget? It's a big win for her if they pass the budget. I mean, Josh Holmes, who's the McConnell.
Well, she never had a two-vote majority.
Yeah, they did. They had a small majority for a little while. Not quite small. Josh Holmes posted this. He was McConnell's old guy. He was basically trying to bully the House Republicans into voting for this, saying there's no justification to vote against the budget resolution. But here's the point that he's making. It has no force of law. It simply allows you to use the budget process to pursue an agenda. Team ball. Like, that's all this was. It was nothing. It should have just been everybody vote with the speaker. And so the fact that he needed to call in Daddy Trump to twist Warren Davidson's arm at the last second, I don't know, man. Joe, I just it seems to me like that he's in deep, deep doo-doo.
So the plan B was just to use the Lindsey Graham version, which is basically the same thing, give or take a few numbers. And so failure wouldn't have been bad. And I don't think it's a win for Johnson at all. It's it shows that he has very little control and he has very little room for error. And it shows that he doesn't count his votes, which is the ultimate sign of a bad speaker.
Morning Sam is coming in with the pundit talk. Oh, it's a nice win. That's a win on the scoreboard for Mike Johnson.
You guys are crazy.
We're crazy. It is crazy that he got here. That this is where we are.
He just passed a politically toxic budget. Like, this thing is going to be toxic as fuck.
He passed instructions for it.
Yeah, right.
Okay, fine, whatever. He did that somehow, losing only one vote. I mean, come on. look, I don't think it's going to end well for him. I don't think it's going to end well for Republicans. But getting through this vote it definitely is a win for him. I think you guys are nuts.
Well, and nuts for him to get these.
So you're saying votes, he's going to be on Covenant Eyes tonight, kind of celebrating?
Like maybe for him to get these votes across the finish line the way he did.
I want to know what happened. Make promises. Yeah. What happened in those 10 minutes? That's what I want to know.
As we know with Kevin McCarthy, when you give away the store, it doesn't work out for you. Doesn't ever.
What happened in those 10 minutes? What did he give to Victoria Spartz?
So with Warren Davidson, it's probably Trump. Someone handed him a phone with Trump on it. Saying, exactly. Please do this for me. And then he just did it. And Warren. Then, yeah.
Yeah.
Same with the others.
What about Tim?
Tim Burchett was praying. Promised,
he probably got a new Carhartt's jacket. Is that what he got?
Well, like discretionary spending, which is not how you reduce the deficit. Yeah, the only way you can do that is with mandatory. So, like, if he got promised something in the mandatory range, that won't pass.
What happens now, Joe? Joe, let's explain this for the viewers. The Senate has a totally different version of what they want to do here. They want to go first with all the border stuff, right? And the House is like one big beautiful bill, blah, 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 blah. So what happens now?
So they're going to have to, like, merge their agenda and merge their ideas, which – how? Because that'll lose 12, 15 Republican votes in the House. So anything they do now after this will be viewed as watering down, and it'll bleed more Republican support.
And let me tell you how it's
not a watered
down. And let me tell you how it's going to play out. They're going to all pretend like they're opposed to it. Victoria will be a hard no.
No. There are a lot of people out there. I'm telling you, there are a lot of Chip Roy. Is
he was nowhere here.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of other troublemakers who decided not to pick a fight this time. Look, eventually,
when's Don Bacon gonna speak up and say, no, we're not worried
about him, but eventually,
Jeff Andrew, where's our dentist friend?
The details on this, the devil is gonna be the details on this. I'm with Joe. Look, eventually, you would think that they would have to pass something just out of shame. Like that you'll eventually reach a point of shame like they did on the 1900th ballot of the speaker's vote where Donald Trump is just like, you fucking morons got to vote for whatever it is. It'll be the most biggest, beautiful bill of all time. So eventually it'll happen. I'm just telling you, there's pain ahead. There's a lot of pain.
What's like, Chip Roy going to do when the chairwoman of the Appropriations Committee in the Senate, Susan Collins, says, well, we have to include NIH funding for the universities in Maine?
I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to say, no, we're not going to include NIH funding. And Susan Collins is going to say, well, I'm concerned about that. And then she's going to say,
on this case,
I think I'll go with you, but I'm going to express my concerns. I'll get some obscure promise from Elon that he'll restore it after the fact.
And Cynical then
Victoria Spartz is going to say, I'm a hard no.
Cynical Sam. Me and Joe are going to live in the darkness. Or the light, depending on what
you're not in the darkness. You're in the light.
You're in the Senate. You're cynical.
In the world of realism.
Real cynical. No, no. It is uglier out there than you believe. I guess is what me and Joe are saying. It's going to get tough and ugly.
Pin this video.
Yeah. All right. You were right. See, you were right initially on the tariffs.
I was totally right.
This whole bet is always going to be the same. Sam is always on the side of the cynics. And like the they will make whatever choice they have to make to survive day by day. And I will always be on the side of it's a dumpster fire. They're going to step on their own dicks. And some days they're going to step on their own dicks. And some days they're going to make the cynical choice. And so just on day to day, we'll be on different equations on who's correct. All right,
I want to play poker with Victoria.
Are you going to bluff? Are you bluffing, Victoria?
Do you have the cards? I do not have the cards.
Joe, do you have any final thoughts or wisdom for us from the Hill?
I think this is extremely typical. Like we're gonna do this. We're gonna do this every 30 days.
We're gonna do this in 2 weeks. We have to fund the government in 2 weeks.
We're gonna do it. Yeah, and they're gonna do a CR, and we'll go through this again, and then we're just gonna keep doing it for forever until Americans decide to give a couple more seats to the Democrats.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how that turns out. Thank you, Sam and Joe, everybody else. Tune in, subscribe. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. Social Casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.